WHUR-FM and HD1 Washington. Now giving you a special daily drop, here's Harold Fisher.
Starting in August, students will begin the process of returning to school classrooms across the country. And this is happening in the midst of the ever-evolving COVID pandemic, which is still very much with us. Even as infections are rising again with the many variants popping up, the tools to fight infection are readily available for children of every age. The big question is, how will school systems, parents, and students handle this? Good evening, and welcome to our monthly special edition of The Daily Drum, a collaboration between 96.3 WHUR, HUR Voices, and WHUT-TV. I'm Harold Fisher. We present what parents need to know about childhood vaccines and returning to school. Tonight, you'll hear from several experts who can answer the many questions about this issue. Now, we're not taking phone calls tonight, but we invite you to join the conversation online using the hashtag SchoolVaccines. This discussion is being streamed live on WHUR.com, Facebook, and YouTube. And joining me now for the very first panel is Dr. Laquandra Nesbitt, Director of DC Health, and Dr. Christina Grant, Superintendent for the DC Office of the State Superintendent of Education. I want to thank both of you for joining this conversation.
Thank you for having us.
Dr. Nesbitt, let me first start with you. This is an obvious question. Why is it so important for students to be vaccinated as schools prepare to open?
So, you know, we've made some tremendous gains over, you know, the last 100 years, just to put it extremely bluntly, in terms of being able to improve the health of our population. And that was largely due to a couple of things. One was improving community hygiene and sanitation. The other one was vaccines. Vaccines have done so much to be able to prolong our lives and our livelihoods. And I think people have taken that for granted. Because there are so many infections or vaccine-preventable illnesses that many of us have never seen before, and people have not prioritized getting their children vaccinated as much as they should. In the last couple of years, we've seen many parents maybe delay some of their routine childhood appointments for their children, with missing some of their appointments because of concerns about going into the doctor's office because maybe people with COVID-19 would be in those doctor's offices. And there have been some delays in care. And it's been important for us to communicate to our parents and our families across the district that we're going to need them to get up to date on their routine pediatric immunizations in order for them to attend school so that we don't have the spread of these childhood illnesses that had essentially been eradicated from our society.
Can you compare and contrast the difference for students between now, when there are so many variants, and the early days of the pandemic when there were no vaccines? Are the risks different now?
Sure. So there's two kind of things that we're focusing on. So there are the routine pediatric vaccines that we have for kids, like measles, mumps, rubella, varicella, or chickenpox, polio, those types of vaccines. We've seen a decline in the rates of those vaccines for our children, and we need them to get up to date to get caught up on those vaccines. And there's very clear requirements that you have to have your shots for those routine pediatric vaccines in order to go to school. There's the second piece where we have requirements now in the district because of the DC Council action for children to be vaccinated against COVID-19 as soon as a vaccine is fully approved. And that applies for children over 12. Now, we know that if people delay in getting vaccinated for something that allows for the spread of more variants, we now have vaccines available for everyone over, COVID-19 vaccines specifically, for everyone over the age of 6 months. And so it's extremely important, whether there is a COVID-19 vaccine requirement or not for school attendance, that every child over the age of 6 months who's eligible for COVID-19 vaccination get vaccinated. Vaccination is the best way for us to get ahead of these variants.
So, Dr. Grant, so much has changed, as you know, since the early days of the pandemic for the DC public school system. Can you talk to us about how the school system has evolved over the past 2.5 years or so?
Yeah, we're evolving continuously. I would say, one, you know, I don't know that any of us have lived through this type of disruption to instructional learning or to the concept of what school was. Now we live in a place that we're calling the new normal. Mm-hmm. So it's a March of 2020, we all walked into school one day, and then we closed our school system for roughly a year and a half, but school still took place. So teachers quickly pivoted to their homes or living rooms. Every child had a device. We made sure in the district that all of our children had access to technology because we learned that access to technology was the thing that ensured that our children had access to a quality education. And then our teachers, our leaders, everyone rallied together to get through that year. And then this school year, we opened our school doors. And I'm so thankful to all of our teachers, our leaders, and to the partnership we have with DC Health. Together, we stood up one of the most comprehensive school-wide testing programs in America. We ensured that our schools stayed open. We ensured that we could pivot as the virus pivoted. So when we needed new testing structures, we could stand them up. When we needed to have a classroom closed for a limited amount of time, we issued so much guidance, guidance upon guidance upon guidance to our principals, our teachers, our families. And I'm grounded in so much gratitude and thanks because they took the journey with us. Our parents knew and understood. This is what September is going to look like. Oh, now we're in December. This is what winter break looks like. And I think we're gathered here today as we endeavor to start next school year even stronger, aligned once again to say it is critically important that our children have access to their routine visits, that they get their shots so that they can come to school. And you know, it's a testament to everyone in Washington, D.C., what we were able to accomplish because we kept our schools open and we kept our children safe. And we know that these visits, these shots, are critical to keeping our children safe as we want to start next school year even stronger. And so we are in our new normal. We're adjusting to our new normal, but we're going to be just fine as we move forward, ensuring that schools stay open and our kids are learning.
I thought you were about to start a sermon. You said we were gathered here today.
I'm so sorry.
No, that's quite all right.
To ensure that the children get their shots.
But you know, with that said, though, this is an ever-evolving situation. So, again, as schools prepare to open, what is your biggest concern now? How do you prepare for the unexpected now?
Well, again, my biggest concern is truly why we're sitting here. We need for our families. Mayor Bowser had given all of our families a homework assignment. We need individuals to stay true to that homework assignment, make their appointments either with their primary care physician or any of the range of providers we have, our pediatricians. Everyone is ready and gathered to meet our children, do their routine visits, and give them their shots. It's a critical step in making sure we start the school year strong. That is one thing that is top of mind. And then the rest of it, in terms of us being able to navigate the unknown, you know, I think history is always a predicator of what we can do in the future. And we've shown that every time a new variant has arrived or there was a new test available or new vaccines became available, we have been able to keep our schools open, keep our children safe, and give our parents the guidance on what they need to do. And today we are saying you need to make sure that you have taken your child to the doctor and that they're up to date on their shots. Because what we don't want, as Dr. Nesbitt alluded to, there is no reason that we would have a measles outbreak in Washington, D.C. Mm-hmm. That will only occur if we do not maximize the time we have now to go and get our shots and keep our children safe. And so we've rallied together to navigate month after month, and we will continue to do that as we navigate what I'm calling our microscopic enemy called COVID-19.
Right. Now, just for our viewers and listeners, if you can just be really flat-footed and plain-spoken about what parents need to know about the vaccine process. So when school starts, what do they need to have in place? And how will they prove that their child is? And certainly, I'll ask you that, Dr. Graham, but, Dr. Nesbitt, you're certainly welcome to chime in.
Well, I'll stick on I'm returning to school, and then I'll let you talk through the process. You know, as plain as can be, if I were talking to my grandma, you need to be able to show that your child has had their shots and that their shots are up to date. Now, we know in the younger grades, they're given out in doses over time. And so what we have done at the end of the school year is reached out to every family and said, based on our records, this is where you are. Mm-hmm. This is what you have. This is what you need. as families are coming into school, some of the information will already be in our systems, but parents will receive a letter again that says, this is what you need. If they have the form, which is what we're hearing, we're reaching out to families and they're like, oh, we have that. We just have to turn it into the school. And I wish we could have a turn it into the school campaign. Mm-hmm. Come to the schoolhouse and turn in your paperwork so that we can know that you are in compliance and you can return to school. And I would let you walk through the different series.
Sure. So they, all of our children within 20 days of the start of school are required to submit proof that they are up to date on their routine pediatric vaccines. And we collect that information in two ways. One is there's something called a universal health certificate that is required for children to attend school in the district. And that allows the parents to have their primary care provider, which can be a physician, a nurse practitioner, complete the form and say that this child has had a well child visit. This is proof of all of their age appropriate vaccines. We know that our pre-K 3 and pre-K 4 learners are probably going to need more things. We have really good rates for most of our sort of like third and fourth graders. And then our high schoolers tend to have lower compliance rates again. So we'll be really focused on, again, those younger learners, and those high school learners is where we really have to push parents to get those universal health certificates completed and give us proof of information. There's something else that the parents can do in addition to if they haven't been to their healthcare provider yet. They can have their healthcare provider just send us information about their shot records, right? I know some of us, I still have my shot records. I carry mm-hmm. them around with me.
Yeah, so do I.
So some family members, some parents may simply just have the shot record at home, and they can drop that off at the school. And that will help us understand that maybe there's something missing from our registry, our database, where the child has already had their shots. But we just don't have that on file. So those are the real actions that parents need to take. They need to take the child for a visit, get them up to date on their shots, get the universal health certificate completed, bring it to us, or send us their shot record if they believe their child is already up to date. Most vaccines are given to children who are between the ages of 4 and 6. Mm-hmm. And so parents who have children who are between the ages of 4 and 6 are probably going to need to get their kids more shots than children who are a little bit older. There are some additional vaccines that are given between 11 and 12, like your HPV, some boosters of the chickenpox shots, those types of things. And then those we notice tend to be missing as children go from middle school and up. So we'll be, again, as Dr. Grant has mentioned, we've started sending information out before children ended the last school year. We've been doing phone calls to parents' homes, all of those things to make sure they know exactly what they need to keep their children in school and to prevent outbreaks of any kind from happening throughout the school year.
But Dr. Grant, what happens if, for whatever reason, a student is not up to date with their COVID shots? They come to school on the first day, and either they don't have the information or they are not vaccinated. What happens?
So on the first day of school, we will receive notice. Families will get a letter home acknowledging where they are regarding all of their shots, COVID and the routine immunizations that we're discussing. Within 20 days of the first day of school, children will have to come into compliance, or they will not be allowed to return to school until they come into compliance. And so we are here today because we want to ensure that families understand, what does it mean to come into compliance? It is either get your routines done, make sure we have your information, bring in your shot record. And that is true for children with respect to COVID-19 for children ages 12 and up. Mm-hmm. So they too will have to have had their vaccine or booster series, depending on the age of the child, to ensure that they can remain in school.
Mm-hmm. And there are plenty of opportunities that we have right now to support families and community. We've been partnering with a lot of our community health providers, our community health centers. Our school-based health centers are open for families who may not have a primary care provider or regular doctor that they see, or if they're having trouble getting an appointment with their regular doctor's office. They can come into any of our school-based health centers. We're seeing any child who's over the age of 4 to schedule an appointment. We're also working with a lot of our health centers to offer some mobile clinics around the city, and those will be ongoing through the end of September, as well as working with any school. So our DC public schools, public charter schools, private schools and parochial schools can request through the health department through something we call the vaccine exchange to host a clinic on site at their school to help their children and children get vaccinated. So this is so critically important to us, right? Our goal here is to keep children in school and to make sure that they have all their opportunities to learn. We know how much being in the classroom is important, not only for the academic components, but for their social and emotional development. And we want to have our families have every opportunity they can to be in the classroom. But we also have to take very seriously our responsibility to prevent any outbreaks of any kind of these vaccine preventable illnesses. So we're going to do all we can between now and the first 20 days of school to get all of our children up to date. On our part, working together, DC Health, the State Superintendent of Education, all of our public school partners and private and parochial school partners to make that happen. And we're grateful to you today to give us the opportunity to share all this information with our children and families in D.C.
Well, thank you for that, because we know just how difficult and I think, quite frankly, dangerous things were in the beginning of the pandemic, not just for young people, but for the seniors, the grandparents, the aunts, the uncles, the parents, even who may have been considerably more vulnerable before there was a vaccine. When everyone was just kind of running around trying to figure this new issue out. And so now, you know, here we are where I would argue there were many more people on board. But, you know, Dr. Grant, what do you do with parents who are still giving pushback about the vaccine? They don't want to get it. They don't want their children to get it. The irony may be that their children may already be vaccinated for measles, mumps, rubella, and all of these other kinds of things. But I'm sure there still is, if not a large amount of skepticism, there are still some people who are just no vaccine. How is the school system prepared to deal with those students?
Well, first, I want to say and acknowledge that vaccines are safe. And they are a critical core component of staying healthy, keeping the district safe, protecting grandma. It's all interconnected. And so I just think it's important to note that the vaccines are safe. They have proven to be effective. And they are our first line of defense against COVID-19. And you spoke about where we were some 2 years ago. And we should remind ourselves that we were in our homes. We couldn't freely move throughout community. We couldn't see grandma. And now we have a vaccine. We have several vaccines that are safe, reliable, completely free, and accessible. And so I would encourage, we have been encouraging, families who still have questions to engage with the health community. Sit with your primary care physician. Engage in a conversation. Have your questions answered by trusted sources so that you can make an informed decision. But our city council has passed a law that says that children age 12 and up must have the COVID-19 vaccine to attend school in Washington, D.C. And so it is our efforts to make that come to pass. And so everything that Dr. Nesbitt has framed around access to the vaccine, access to healthcare providers, that is all in an effort to ensure that our children are able to be vaccinated from COVID-19, return to school in the fall, and be ready to learn. And so that's the line that we have to walk as a community, and it is to keep the community safe. We cannot go back to where we were 2 years ago, and we have to keep our children in school. We know it is not just the place that they learn. It is the safest place for our children, even if you think about the disproportionate effect of the pandemic on Black and brown children. Mm-hmm. Our children need to be in school with their teachers, trusted adults, not just learning, but being educated as a whole child. And so that's the line that parents are going to have to walk. That's the line that we've all walked when we took our shot. And we encourage our parents to model for their children and make sure that they get their shot as well.
I did want to have you drill down just a little bit more about that very point, because we've seen school systems across the country where students have been learning from home. And there has been a disparity between more affluent communities where there have been, that's high-speed Wi-Fi and all of that in internet, and then, communities that are more challenged. Talk to me a little bit more about why it is so important for them to be in school right now, because to be quite honest, and you can correct me on this, this really is this coming year, the 2022 fall to 2023, this is really the first full year that they will be back in school. Is that correct?
No, so our school year completely started and opened and operated fully last school year.
Okay.
We were managing the realities of the pandemic, yeah. But our school doors opened in September and they remained open the entire year. You see Dr. Nesbitt nodding so
proudly.
Right, yeah, right. So.
In her words, we will stand on that, that our school system, and it is a testament again to Washington, D.C. That is not true for all jurisdictions across the country. We opened our schools. We kept them open. We kept our children learning. But to your point, the 22-23 school year is critically important because we've navigated so much.
Right.
We understand virtual learning, hybrid learning. We know all the different ways we will have to flex should anything occur. We do not have to experience full instructional disruption again. We know that in Washington, D.C. A critical component of it is now that we know the best place for a child to be is in a classroom with their teacher. The teachers know it, the students know it, and parents know it, because when we opened those doors in September, the first thing we saw were parents pulling up to the school like, hey y'all, so good to see you, here you go. Because I think there was a false assumption before the pandemic that they were like, oh, school. And there was a question after that. And now in DC and across America, people are like, school.
Mm-hmm.
School is critically important. It is more than where you read and write and learn to do math. It is where children are making decisions about who they will become. What type of citizens will they be? How do they contribute to this great thing called democracy? And that starts with childhood immunizations, which, again, Dr. Nesbitt said, it's been on law in D.C. since the 70s.
Yeah.
These vaccines have existed for decades. And now we all just have to do our part to keep the doors open and keep our children learning, because that's how we ensure that all of our learners have a fair shot and that these gaps in learning no longer exist or continue to be closed.
You know, I'm going to take a break in just a bit, but in these last few minutes, I wanted to give both of you an opportunity to just share some final thoughts about where you are individually as we look at opening school and just how far we've come, Dr. Nesbitt.
Yeah, sure. You know, we've really embraced a focus on equity, both from a health equity perspective, racial equity, social equity perspective here in the District of Columbia. And for me, it's extremely important that we have all of our families, in particular our Black and Brown families in the District of Columbia, doing everything that they can and us getting all of the resources and that we can to them to help them get their children vaccinated, for their children to become vaccinated. This can be one of the great equalizers in terms of improving health outcomes for our population, right? These are preventable illnesses that we can completely eradicate these diseases from our community. And so the vaccines are safe and effective. They can help prevent the spread from more vulnerable individuals who will have a more complicated course of disease and more long-lasting complications if those persons were to be infected. And so it's been very important for us to make sure that everyone who can access these free vaccines absolutely does so, and for us to put them in all of the places for people to be able to get them conveniently. And so we're doing all that we can to make that happen. And in turn, our children are able to take advantage of being able to go to school, accessing their education, which is an absolute right for them to be able to do, and to not have any disruption in their in-person learning and continuing to promote their social and emotional development. And then that one day they'll be able to take my job and Dr. Grant's job, you know, and be future leaders in our community. I think people underplay why this is so important in the grand scheme of things. And these things are all, as Dr. Grant mentioned before, they're also intimately connected.
Dr. Grant, a quick word from you.
You know, I'm so excited about the start of this coming school year. And obviously, I'm an educator at heart, but we all get excited in August and September. It's like our Super Bowl, right? Mm-hmm. And so, you know, we're running the play, and teachers right now, teachers are at Staples and they're writing lesson plans. And when I think about parents, they have their little list of all the things that they need to do to start school. Children are excited about their new clothes or uniforms. And we just are saying, add to the list, take your child to the doctor and make sure they have this health visit. And the health visit is for the vaccine, but it also frames for a child at a very young age that you should go to the doctor and you should engage with the health community, and that doctors are safe and shots are safe. And this is a part of your process of getting ready to go to school, to start your new school year. And so I'm excited about what we will accomplish for the 2022-23 school year. And do, again, want to thank our teachers, our principals, anyone that is serving in the life of a child. Yeah. A tremendous thank you. You've navigated so much. And I know the best is yet to come, but it does start with these visits.
Okay. Dr. Nesbitt. Dr. Grant, thank you both for talking to me. Thank I really you. Appreciate it. And let us hope for a successful school year as we move into this fall.
Thank you. Thank you for having us.
We are going to take a quick station break and say goodbye to our 96.3 WHUR audience. But this conversation continues online and on SiriusXM Channel 141 HUR Voices, 96.3 HD2, and on 98.3 FM. What parents need to know about childhood vaccines and